Blog Talk Radio.
I see the clouds.
Longer, that's what happened. It's good to have you all out tonight. It's Mondays. That means there's an epic Bible study about to go down. We're still in Genesis. We'll probably be in Genesis for a while longer. It's a pretty long chapter, but it's very important for all of us to know what it is that we believe. We need to know our history. And so here we are. We're taking on the whole Bible front to back. I don't know how many of us have ever actually done that. But if you're following us, you're about to do it. So praise the Lord. I have my partner here with me, Felix Lopez. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? It's good to be here again, and definitely, and you know, just another epic Bible study that we're doing tonight. And we're covering Genesis 25. And basically it's based on the death of Abraham. Actually, the patriarch, the great man himself that we've been talking about and studying about all this time, you know, and now the last chapter we covered, his son Isaac got married after his mom died, and which was an unfortunate episode for him and to lose his mother and for Abraham to lose his wife. But nevertheless, you know, just the fact that he saw his son get married at least, and, you know, a grown young man, which is good. I mean, what loving father would want to see their young son, you know, their a young man, you know, grown to a young man and get married and, you know, eventually have kids. So that's always a good thing for every father to see, you know, for a father or a mother to see their son definitely get married and, you know, pass along, pass the family line along and, you know, definitely. So, but now we're going to read in this chapter that ultimately, of course, he died. We're going to cover much about that and just the fact that God had kept his promise in making Abraham into a great nation. And, you know, he made him into a great nation. He gave him Ishmael and he gave him Isaac. And, you know, many two nations would come from these two people. And, you know, of course, Abraham marries, you know, afterwards, later on, he remarries, you know, after Sarah dies. And, you know, he has more children. I mean, and, you know, God blessed him. So, I mean, and then these children become the patriarchs or founding fathers of many other nations that lived in the Middle East in ancient times back then. And pretty much, you know, God did bless him. When God told Abraham he would make him a father of many nations, he definitely, you know, kept his word. he was a God of his word because he definitely did make Abraham the father of many nations. he wasn't just the father of the Hebrew nation or the Jewish nation, but also the father of other nations. And, you know, many other nations, which is amazing. So, but we're going to cover that and much more on Genesis 25. So, you know, tune in, stick around, and, you know, thank you all for listening and, you know, stick around and listen in. Alrighty, so I guess we can get started now, dear.
Amen. Okay, so turn into your Bibles if you are, you're out there. Open up your apps, whatever you have. Let's go to chapter 25 in Genesis. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dadan. And the sons of Dadan were Asherim, and Lethushim, and Lemumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanach, and Abida, and Elda. And all of these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the fields of Ephron, the sons of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, where was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generation. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Abiel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Napish, and Kedema. The birth of Esau and Jacob. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest towards Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, and the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. And the boys grew, and Esau was cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day, as swear unto him." And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, so that is chapter 25. You want me to do 26 as well?
Or do you want to stick with just... Let me see. 25, yeah, because we've pretty much covered a lot here on 25. Yeah, we can do 26, I guess. You know, just one more, I guess. And I'll try to cover that last one quick. So, all right, go ahead.
Okay. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She's my sister," for he feared to say, "She's my wife," lest, said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guilt upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that touched this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in the land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all of the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines have stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac dig again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of spring of water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded up the altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up bedtimes in the morning, and sware unto one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told them concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took his wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Wow. Amen.
Yeah, so we, basically this is a long, long, chapter 26 is basically about one particular topic, but chapter 25 is about, several particular topics. It's, it talks about Abraham and how he had remarried after his wife Sarah died, and also had many children with his new wife, and basically these children, eventually had families of their own, and eventually they too became many nations, and just as God had sworn to him that he would bless him and make him the father of many nations, and indeed, that promise was coming forth. So, and we see here basically not only that, but he had been so rich, so prosperous, God had given him so much wealth that he even gave gifts to all his new children, his new sons, daughters, and what have you. And, basically he sent them away afterwards. I mean, he gave them so much that they were definitely happy with everything he had given them, and definitely went away happy with everything that their father had given them, But he left everything else for Isaac. He left the inheritance that was rightfully for Isaac to Isaac, just as God had sworn to Abraham also in advance that he would inherit everything that Abraham owned. He and only him, not Ishmael and not anyone else, only Isaac. Because that was the promise that God had made to Abraham concerning Isaac. Because Isaac was the son of the promise, the one whom God would promise to give Abraham and Sarah at a very old age. So basically, the whole point was that he kept his promise, and God was working forcefully in keeping that promise. Here it is now. Abraham also lived a very long life, Mind you, the lifespan at this point in time had drastically dropped since the time of Noah, since the time of Shem, okay, who was Abraham's ancestor, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. You know, and Shem might have seen Abraham, actually, since he had lived such a long life back home in Mesopotamia before Abraham came over to Canaan. Definitely, long back then, before the flood, people lived long. They lived centuries. They lived in the 900s or so. But after the flood, all that changed. It was a whole new world, a whole new environment, a whole different atmosphere. Everything changed in the world after the flood, and the lifespan as well dropped drastically. I mean, from the 900s all the way down to eventually the 100s. But regardless, I mean, Abraham, for being a man who lived after the flood, still lived a long life. 175 is considered very long, even though, in the pre-flood world, it wasn't really very long. It was actually considered very young. But after the flood, in the post-flood world, in our time, that age would be considered very old. That would be considered too old, and for someone to live that long would be amazing, and would also bring a lot of questions and cause a lot of jealousy. So, but definitely God had blessed him, and, not only did he promise to make him a father of many nations, and not only did he promise that all nations would be blessed through him and through his seed, okay, through one of his descendants. And that would be the Messiah who was to come forth into the world. That's right, Jesus himself, who would come forth into the world through the line, through that line. So now God was, keeping his promise. Little by little he was blessing him, and, he made him all these things that he had promised to make him. So, and now, he died already at 175 years, He was, definitely, 175, he was definitely an old man. God told him that he would live to be an old man and be buried at a good old age, and sure enough, he was. So, God had kept his promise with him and did everything for him just as he promised he would. Again, God is a God of his word. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So now, basically, we go on. Afterwards, when Abraham, before he died, he had left, many gifts, many things, for his children and their children and so on and so forth, for them to be happy and to be prosperous with, all right? But he did not leave them the family inheritance, because that only pertained to Isaac. But not only that, Abraham was also very wise in sending them all away from his son Isaac. And I look at the scripture and I think, that was a very wise thing to do. It was very smart. It was a very good move, because there's a reason why Abraham did that. Number one, he loved all his children just as much as he loved Isaac. But Isaac was the one who was to inherit everything he owned, because that was the promise. That was the promise God had given him, and that was what God had wanted beforehand to happen. Number two, Abraham loved the rest of his children very much, and he didn't leave them empty-handed. He gave them more than what they needed for them to be happy and prosperous with, and that was great. But he sent them away with everything he had given them. And I think basically Abraham did this for one reason and one reason only, so that they wouldn't squabble each other or kill each other over Isaac's inheritance, over the inheritance that Abraham had given Isaac, or probably even attempt to kill Isaac himself and take the inheritance away from him, or hate Isaac, or take the inheritance forcefully away from him and split it and divide it among each other, among themselves. A lot of bad things could have happened within the family. And normally this is the kind of thing that does happen within a family. Whenever a will is made for someone in the family, and everyone in the family wants to know who will get the inheritance. Not everybody will get it, but someone in the family will get it. But normally that tends to bring problems, especially if everybody's there and they all feel like they want a piece of it or, a share of it. or some of it. And some might even want to take all of it away from the rightful heir. So a lot of things can happen within a family that can cause feuds, family feuds. You know what I mean? No, not the game. I'm talking about real family feuds, you know, dissensions, rivalry within the family, all because of an inheritance that was given to only one particular person in the family. So there's a lot of, you know, it can bring problems and cause jealousy even within the family. And it can cause division. It can cause hatred even within the family. This is the reason why Abraham gave his children, his other children, everything that they needed to be happy, to be prosperous with, to be content with and satisfied with. And to keep them, you know, happy and send them away from Isaac. So basically that was a very smart thing to do. And, you know, not, I don't know if a lot of rich people do this or tend to do this, or they do, but definitely it's a very smart thing to do, especially if you're rich and you have many children. That's a very smart thing to do. Very good move. And, you know, when I read the scripture, I'm thinking, wow, that was actually a good thing he did. You know, it's a very smart move, all right? And he made sure that only Isaac, his son, had the inheritance that was his, that God had given him. It was now Isaac's, you know. And so God was with Isaac, you know, just as he was with Abraham, his father. And, again, you know, God was keeping his promise. So also Ishmael became a great nation, all right, again, because of Abraham. Everybody, whether they were related to Abraham or around Abraham or knew Abraham or interacted with him in one some way, shape or form or another, was blessed because of Abraham. You know, everyone who had something to do with Abraham was blessed, you know, because Abraham was blessed. And, you know, God had blessed Abraham and told him that all nations would be blessed through him ultimately. And we too share in that blessing. And amen for that, because we too are blessed because we are in Christ. And, you know, Christ was the seed, the offspring through which all nations would be blessed by, you know. And he came from Abraham's line. So, again, this was a promise that God had told Abraham in advance centuries ago, which happened and was already accomplished through Christ centuries later. And, you know, we are all blessed, you know, in Christ. And we are all heirs with Abraham spiritually in Christ. So that's a great thing because we all share in this blessing. You know, we're all citizens with God's people. We are all Israel, too. We're all spiritual Israel. We're all spiritual Jews. Abraham is our father in the faith as well, you know. So, again, you know, it's a promise God told Abraham that he keep for him, that he'd give him, that, you know, it would come forth, come true at its proper time, and it did come true, you know. So, and amen, you know, because Christ eventually came, you know, later on, you know, we're going, you know, a few centuries ahead, but we're also talking about Jesus, because this basically has to do with Christ, with the Messiah, with the Savior who would come into the world through this man, through this bloodline, and the one that God was talking to Abraham about would come forth into the world by which we would all be blessed, you know, through whom we would all be blessed. So, and this was amazing. You know, so, but Ishmael, you know, because he was also related to Abraham, okay, God blessed him as well, and, you know, made him the father of, he made him a great nation, and these tribes, these peoples that came from him eventually, you know, lived in hostility and towards one another, and they split up, and they lived in the east. Muslims believe that they are the Ishmaelites, that they are the Arabs that descended from Ishmael, and they are the ones that, you know, basically the Quran talks about. So, and like I said, because Islam, he believes that Ishmael was their ancestor, which is why they believe Abraham was their ancestor. So, but the whole point was that, you know, they became a great nation. Ishmael became a great nation too. And people all around Abraham, whether they were related to him or not, but had something to do with Abraham, was blessed. So, but then later on, we read how eventually Isaac also, you know, became a father. And again, God was keeping his promise. And Rebecca this time was barren and couldn't have any children. And it was a similar story, similar to that of Abraham and Sarah. But Sarah basically, since she couldn't have children, you know, God blessed her later on and gave her a child, gave her Isaac. You know, God can open the womb. It could be barren, it could be closed, but only God can open it, you know, because only God can see fit the right time when the womb could be open and made ready to be fertile and to bear fruit and to have children. And so, sure enough, you know, Isaac prayed, and God, you know, kept his promise. Again, just as he swore to Abraham that he would make him the father of many. Well, God kept his promise because Isaac was his son, the son of the promise. And it is through Isaac that, basically Abraham would be a great nation. And the people of Israel, the Jews, would come forth eventually. And eventually the Messiah himself would come forth into the world through that nation, that great nation. So, again, Isaac was also a founding father, a pillar, one of the patriarchs, you know, after his father Abraham. So, therefore, God also kept his promise and made Rebekah his wife fruitful, okay? They had two babies, actually. They had twins. And it's amazing because here we see twins mentioned in the Bible. And, you know, often we see how many people try to dispute or talk about, genetics and the fact that, how it works and the mysteries behind it. Well, it's so amazing because God created the human genes, you know, for the sole purpose of design, you know, intelligent design. God made it the way he wanted it to be, the way he wanted it to look like. God made us all the way we are and the way we look like. And, you know, our genes contain tons of information. Our DNA has tons of information. God can also duplicate a person or actually clone a person genetically, biologically. And that can happen through, through us. It can happen through people when they have children. It doesn't always happen. And we, you know, it's something that we don't really have control over, but it's something that the genes can do, you know, automatically it can happen, so people can have twins, some people have twins, some people don't, some people have triplets, some people have quadruples, etc. But yes, a person can be replicated or duplicated, you know, I mean, there could be a double, a triple, whatever. So it's the beauty of genetics, you know, it's just wonderful that that this can happen. You can have twins that are identical, or you can have twins that are fraternal, which is amazing. Identicals are basically the same. You can't tell them apart. They're like copies. You don't know which is which. Fraternals, you can definitely tell them apart. They look alike, but they don't look exactly the same. They're not identical. So, which is exactly what eventually Esau and Jacob, when they were born. Esau and Jacob, or Jacob and Esau, they were twins. They were fraternal twins. All right, they looked alike, but they were not exactly the same. And Jacob, of course, had smooth skin, while Esau, his brother, had rough skin, and he was hairy. He had reddish hair, okay? Basically, that's what Edom means. It means, you know, red, while Esau means hairy, all right? And it was amazing how these twins were born when they were born, ultimately. You know, when I grew up, I used to think, well, okay, so if twins are born on the same day, the same month, the same year, so who's the oldest? You know, because they both look the same, or they both look alike, not the same, but they're both born at the same time, they're both born in the same month, the same day, the same year. Who's to say which is which? Like, who's the oldest and who's the youngest? How can you tell? Because both their birthdays are on the same day, right? So it's a question I used to ask myself, you know. But eventually I figured the answer. I realized, okay, well, as I, you know, grew older and I got older and I got wiser and I learned eventually, God, you know, revealed to me, okay, you know, we read here in the Bible when the angel had foretold to Rebecca that two nations are in her womb, meaning two children from whom two great nations would come forth. And the angel also revealed to her that one of them will be greater than the other. And the older the older one will serve the younger. So this means that, okay, there were twins, so one of them had to be the oldest and one of them had to be the youngest, all right? Which is pretty amazing because they're both born on the same day. So how is the older one, and the younger one, the younger one? Well, basically, it's quite simple. And the Bible tells us, as well as, you know, you can also, you know, life can tell you, people can tell you, people who have twins can tell you. It's very simple, basically. You know, whoever comes out first, that's the oldest one. And that's it. And whoever comes out second is the youngest. Even if they're both born in the same day, the same month, the same year, have the same birthdays, are the same age, one of them is the oldest one and the other is the youngest. You know, it's that simple, because the oldest one is determined by not only because of the fact that he comes out first, but also because he comes out seconds, all right, or minutes even before the other person, the younger, or the younger one comes out. So that is how the oldest one is determined, you know, and how the youngest one is determined. And we see that Esau came out first, and he was like a hairy garment. He was hairy. And so they called him Esau, all right? And that's why he was called Esau, which means hairy, Esau. And then his brother, his younger brother, came out, and he was grabbing his foot heel, okay, grabbing his foot heel. And so he was named Jacob, Yaakov in Hebrew, which actually means heel grabber, because he grabbed the heel of his older brother, Esau. And so it's amazing how they were both born. And also back then, when you were given a name, you lived up to that name. You were given a name for a reason, because you lived up to that name. You were called by such and such a name because that was what you were, that's what you did, or that's what eventually you would do. And that's exactly what happened here. I mean, and these two people were named because of what they did. You know, Esau was hairy, he was called Esau. Jacob grabbed his brother's heel. Yaakov, he was called the heel grabber, he grabbed his brother's heel. Okay, and it's amazing because also Jacob means deceiver or liar, because later on, Jacob grew up to be deceitful, which wasn't a good thing. And, you know, we kind of like see more or less where that deceitfulness came from, which was not good, all right? And as we read on later on, they were both born, and then later they grew up. They became younger men or teenagers at this time. And, you know, we see that Isaac loved his son Esau because he was an expert hunter. He became an archer, you know, someone who was good with a bow and arrow, and he was a skilled hunter. He could hunt and shoot an animal precisely wherever he wanted to shoot the animal, at whatever part of its body, to kill it, to hunt it with exact precision, right there, boom, you're dead. You know, he was such an expert hunter, a skilled hunter, a man of the open country. Well, Jacob was very quiet and very peaceful, and he remained back in the tents helping his mom, Rebecca. You know, he was a bit more of a mama's boy, but he was a quiet and peaceful boy, you know. And, you know, which also Rebecca loved him because of how quiet and peaceful he was, while Isaac loved Esau because of the fact that he was such an expert hunter, and he hunted him the best wild game that was out there. You know, he brought to his father the best wild game for him to eat, because Isaac loved and had a great taste for wild game. And, you know, whenever Esau would hunt it for him, Rebecca, his mother, would cook it and, you know, serve it to Isaac. You know, and so because he had such a great taste for wild game, and only Esau can hunt it and, you know, so well and bring it to him, that was why he loved them more. But it was so amazing here because, you know, these two individuals were good at doing two things, and why each of their parents loved each of them more than the other. So, but eventually we see here, something happened here eventually, and we see that basically Esau, you know, he saw that, you know, Jacob was cooking something.
he was cooking some nice stew, some nice reddish stew, more or less like lentils or something like that, okay? But basically what happened was, as we go on in the story, as I mentioned before, these were twin sons that had been born to Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah was the wife of Isaac. In the last chapter, we know that they got married, and we see that they went through some great ordeal. Then Abraham went through a great deal of trouble to get a wife for his son Isaac, but ultimately he sent his servant to get her, and eventually he brought her back with him, and she married Isaac, and eventually, yes, they had two boys. They had Jacob and Esau, right? Twins. Okay, as the boys grew, Esau, the older of the twins, loved to hunt wild animals. Okay, and the younger twin, Jacob, quietly tended the sheep. Okay, so we see that one of them was a shepherd and the other one was an archer and a hunter. All right, well, one day Esau returned from a hunting trip, and he was hungry. Okay, we see he was very hungry from his hunting trip. He smelled a pottage that Jacob had cooked for himself. Esau wanted to eat it. Okay, he wanted some. Okay, he was famished from his hunting trip. And so Jacob said to him, "I'll give you some stew, but first you must give me your birthright." Wow. "You must give me your birthright." Well, what is a birthright? We will soon find out what a birthright is. As the oldest son, someday Esau would inherit all of Isaac's flocks. So we see here that the birthright was the inheritance. So Esau was given the inheritance now. It was his. But later on, Isaac would pass on that inheritance to Esau. Okay? And so Esau had that birthright, that right to his father's inheritance, to his father's estate and his father's property and flocks and everything else. But that seemed a long way off to Esau, okay? He wanted food right away. So he traded all his pottage. He traded all his inheritance for a dish of pottage, which was something pretty stupid. He gave away all his inheritance, all right? The right to have his father's inheritance, okay? He gave it all up just for a dish of pottage. Are you kidding me? This is what he did. And this was pretty stupid, okay? And so now, pottage was basically a food which is pretty much similar to lentils, okay, made of lentil beans. Most Hebrew families ate two meals a day. Breakfast was flat bread, a piece of cheese, and some dried fruit or olives. There was no noon meal, but families sometimes had something to drink or pieces of fruit. Okay, dinner consisted of stew called pottage, made from fresh vegetables or dried lentils. Only on special occasions was meat or fish added to the pot. Family members used pieces of bread to scoop up the stew, as there was no silverware. At the end of the meal, fruit and wine were served. You know? So more like it was like a dessert or a little libation, stimulation, relaxing type of drink thing after a heavy, hearty meal or after a good, nice, wholesome meal. Okay? So basically, they had a well, strict, balanced diet. You know, and pretty much they were pretty, you know, healthy, and they took good care of themselves. All right, they knew what to eat, exactly when to eat. Meat wasn't really eaten, only except on special occasions would it be added or eaten or so, but it wasn't always a common dish. But nevertheless, they had a well-balanced diet, and they ate well. And basically, how they did it in the Middle East back then, how they ate well and really kept themselves on a good diet and took care of themselves. So they had a really good, proper diet. And basically, this was how they ate and how, you know, pretty much their the courses of their meal throughout the day. So, but this is pretty intense, really interesting. But Esau giving over his inheritance, I mean, it was just amazing how he actually could, you know, just do something stupid like that. Because basically that was the inheritance that was to be passed along to him after his father Isaac would pass on. All right? And you see how Jacob, his brother, his younger brother, asked him, okay, well, I'll give you some food if you give me the right to everything that you have. You know, I mean, that's just amazing, you know. And, you know, also, as the angel told Rebecca while she had been pregnant with these two twins, with these two boys, that one of them would be greater than the other, and the older would serve the younger. And sure enough, Esau was the older one, and eventually he would serve his brother, the youngest, Jacob. So it's pretty clear that the inheritance, which originally was meant for Esau, would actually really go to Jacob. Because it was Jacob, the one that God had chosen to bring forth the nation of Israel, and, you know, through his father Isaac and through his grandfather, of course, Abraham. And Abraham actually did meet Esau and Jacob before he died. Remember, he lived to be 175 years old, so he definitely had a great deal of time to meet the twins and to see his grandsons, and also see Esau, Ishmael, and his children. He lived a very long life. Remember, 175 years, you know, he definitely lived a long life. So he lived long enough to see these children and grandchildren and so on and so forth before he died. And Jacob was definitely, you know, you could only imagine how delightful he was just to hear his grandfather, Abraham, talk about God, about the Lord. I mean, it was just, you know, there was a reason why God chose Jacob. And we're going to read on furthermore about that. All right? So now we read in verse 26, eventually what happened here after Abraham died, and just how Isaac now became, you know, great, and how God made him great and blessed him abundantly after Abraham had died, and how God himself was with him, with Isaac now, just as he had been with his father, Abraham. But before I go on, Bella, do you want to say anything or add anything on to this, if you like?
Well, we have about 12 minutes. Do you need more time than that?
No, that's fine. You could say something. That's fine. Yeah.
All right. Just double-checking. I don't know. I'm mostly listening and just enjoying everything. I think that these are great stories. And I just think, because I'm a mother, right, I've given birth to several children, and two of mine came out very, very hairy. My second born, my middle children, they came out very, 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 very hairy. Even their ears had hair on them. Their shoulders had hair on them. And then my first one came out very red and smooth. She had almost no hair. And my last one was the same. She came out smooth as well, with hardly no hair on her. And it's just interesting to see how, with pretty much the same genetics, that you can come up with two different types of people. Like my youngest and my oldest look a lot alike, and then the two in the middle look a lot alike.
Yep.
And, of course, they're male and female, and then the other two are girls, right? But it's just interesting when you think of inheritance and things like that, because I know for myself personally, my sister, he was my stepdad, but when he passed away, she just ransacked the place, basically, and people do unfortunately get that way. They treasure things more than the people, and I just think, well, let that be a lesson to somebody out there today, that Keep your, you know, keep your eyes on the true treasure, on Jesus Christ, on gaining spiritual wisdom and growing in that way. I mean, and no, not everything here is passing. I mean, a lot of us give up something for something that we don't really want or need. Esau, I'm sure, in the moment didn't know what, he didn't think that anything was going to happen. He didn't, he was not taking it seriously. It's just like my little brother when like we're like 3 or 4 or 5 somewhere in there, and he'll be sitting there supposed to be cleaning his room, and he'll be like, Krista, can you help me? Yeah, I can help you. Sign this paper that says you're going to give me $1 million. Like, I'll clean your room for $1 million. Okay. Like, he didn't think that this would be a legal binding thing, but the Lord sees everything. And Jacob, the little cheater, right? He's a little swindler, con artist, whatever, mama's boy, probably had soft hands and everything, and Esau was like the man's man, so of course dad loved him. Like, look at this, his action child, very proud of him. And then the mom, of course, you know, with my only son, he's just handsome and he can do no wrong, right? Like, nobody can say anything about my handsome son because he's so sweet and adorable. But a man, when he thinks of a sweet little boy, he thinks, he's kind of a sissy, right? So it's interesting to see that parents, since the beginning of time, have been having favoritism. And we always hear parents say these days, oh, well, I love you all the same. And it's funny because, yes, we do. We do love our children. But there's always ones that we can't stand as much as the other ones. There's always that one child that, mm-hmm. you know, you can't figure them out. You can't understand them, and God's just showing us through the pages that it's been like this forever. People have been not taking him seriously, because this is a promise, like, hey, this is like the greatest thing that's ever going to happen, and you're going to be a part, like, it's a huge part of it, and it's going to be awesome. But no, I want to have something right now. I want to have some food in my belly because I'm just so hungry. And so now the Lord's saying, those who are truly hungry, to eat of him, to eat of Jesus Christ, to eat of the spiritual bread. So now no longer are we selling out for beans. We're selling out to Christ. So praise the Lord. I'll let you get back to finishing up the show.
Amen. So basically we see here, you know, how now Isaac lived in the land of Abimelech. And Abimelech was the same person, the same king, as we read, you know, in Genesis 26. Basically, we read that, you know, as time passes in Genesis 26, a famine drives Isaac's family to Gerar in the territory of Abimelech, where his father Abraham had once dwelt many decades earlier. Here, Isaac reopens the wells that Abraham had dug. Before moving back to Beersheba, he built an altar to the Lord, as his father had done before him. Esau marries, but his wives are Hittites, okay? And these people are basically, again, they are descendants of Heth, who are the sons of Canaan. And Canaan was the son of Ham, and Ham was the son of Noah. If you go back to the story in Genesis, back in the genealogy of the families and the nations that came from Noah, these people were Hamitic peoples, who eventually later on lived in Anatolia, what is now modern-day Turkey. Eventually, they moved up there later on. But in the time being, they lived in the land of Palestine. They lived in Canaan. And basically, these people, they didn't sit too well with Isaac, nor with Rebecca, the boy's mother, unfortunately. Basically, Rebecca and Isaac were grieved that Esau had married Hittite women. These women were Canaanites, and just as Abraham did not want Isaac to marry any of the women in Canaan, any of the daughters of Canaan, and rather sent his servant to go back home to his family to bring forth a woman in his family to be his son's wife, bring her back to the land of Canaan, So Isaac can marry her. Well, now, we see the same thing going on here with Isaac and Rebecca. You know, one of their sons wants to get married. But what happened? Well, instead of marrying, the women within the family of Isaac and Rebecca, he marries two of the women in the land of Canaan, two Hittite women. And why did these women grieve Isaac and Rebecca? Well, for the same reason that they grieved Abraham, because they didn't worship the true God. They worshipped idols. They worshipped Baal. They worshipped gods, and idols, and they also offered their children as sacrifices, their firstborn as sacrifices to Baal. And, you know, they had many cultic practices and festivals and to Baal. And, you know, the people of the land were pagans. And so they were polytheistic, and Abraham was not too happy about, having his son Isaac marry any of these women from among these people, which was why he had his servant go back home to marry, to send a woman from his family to bring her back so that Isaac, his son, could marry her. And that was Rebekah. And now Rebekah and Isaac wanted Esau also to do the smart thing, to do the right thing, to go back home to their family, get a woman there, marry her, bring her back, whatever. You know what I mean? But, marry a woman from their family, someone who feared the Lord, who loved God. Because back then, spirituality was the issue. You know, a lot of people tend to use the scripture and think of it as a racist issue or a racist thing. Oh, it was because she was a Canaanite that they didn't want him to marry Canaanite women. No, it wasn't because of that. It was because of the fact that they worshipped idols. Their beliefs were completely different and contradicted the beliefs of Isaac and Rebekah. So belief was the issue here. Spirituality was the issue here. These women did not love and fear the true God. And that was the reason why they were very grieved and, hurt that Esau, their oldest son, ran off and married these women. They were very grieved. And also, these women didn't seem too pleasant to them either, and they probably didn't get along with their in-laws, which was another reason why they were grieved. And we've had cases like this happen before where in-laws don't always get along, with their sons-in-law, daughters-in-law. You know, they say sometimes your in-laws can become your outlaws. But in some cases, that's not always true. But, it could be that your in-laws don't get along with you, or it could be that you don't get along with your in-laws. Well, in this case, this is what happened here. There was a reason why Isaac and Rebekah felt grieved that their son Esau, had grieved them because he had married women who did not love God, and women who lived who were among pagan people and just did things that were displeasing both to God and to Isaac and Rebekah. And it's very sad, and basically this is what happened. But Isaac was prosperous, and while he lived in the land of Abimelech, he was prosperous, and he even named a few places while he lived there, which was amazing because he named also a few wells there. He had the same names that his father Abraham had given him. Esek actually means dispute because they had disputed there. And so he had named it Esek, or renamed it Esek. And also there was another, well he named also, which they had quarreled over, Sitna, all right? Sitna, which means opposition, all right? And he moved from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. No one argued or made any fuss or fought over it. So he named it Rehoboth, which means room. Because now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. So basically, we see that these places were also given a name for a reason. Just as people were given a name for a reason and lived up to those names, the places, cities, towns, regions were also named and given a name for a reason. Beersheba was also the place, also where Abraham had been, where God had appeared to him. And it was called Beersheba, meaning well of the oath, well of the seven. All right. And as we had read earlier, you know, in Genesis, you know, and basically, you know, again, these places were given a name for a reason, you know, and it's amazing, you know, why, you know, we see here in the ancient world, the first cities, the first towns were basically named for a reason, as were people. So, but basically, Isaac prospered. He was rich. He was blessed. He was so blessed that the Philistines envied him. And it shouldn't surprise us why the Philistines carried their enmity or hatred not only toward Isaac, but eventually toward his descendants. the people of Israel, eventually. As we read more about throughout the Old Testament, there was a lot of animosity and hatred towards the Israelites and the Philistines. And I think it pretty much had to do with what was going on here. Isaac became too prosperous, too powerful, too great, too rich for the Philistines that they wanted him out of there. They just said, no, you're too great for us. Get out of here. You know? So isn't that crazy? And he was an immigrant there, and he was greater than them. He was the richest man in their country, which really makes no sense, right? But he was. And even the king himself just, oh, God, look, get out of here, please, you know? You know, God had blessed him so much that they told him to go away. He had become too rich, too powerful. So, but anyway, we're going to end the show here. And thank you all for listening. And, you know, I wish you all a good night. God bless. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Felix, for that. Awesome. You know, it's always great coming here and sharing the word and learning together. And, hey, we don't know who's listening out there, but if you've listened tonight and you like what you've heard, or if you listened and you didn't like what you heard, or maybe you felt we missed something, or maybe, you know, you want to give us some knowledge that you have on the topic of anywhere in Genesis up until the 26th chapter, is just fine. We'll be continuing it next Monday. Every Monday we try to have Bible studies. Stay tuned throughout the week. I still have to finish Amos Part 2. I got cut off on the last broadcast. I will get that up. We have a little hackeroony going on. So, you know, I'm not very techie, but, you know, I show up, and we all show up to do the work when we can. And praise God that we're able to do this. And I'm just very grateful that I have all these nice way walkers, these brothers and sisters in Christ who uphold the word of God and you know, take time out of their days or their nights to share what they know, what the Lord's taught to us. We freely give as he's freely given to us. So if there's anything that you know or that you want to share with us, you're always welcome to call when we're live. Or you can email us, thewaywalkers@hotmail.com. Or you can come to our Facebook group. We're there, The Way Walkers group. Just put it in the search engine, and we'll get back to you. Just say hello to us. We love you, and thank you for being a part of the broadcast. And we will see you. Our next show, we should be doing one on Wednesday. I'm going to try and finish up Amos. Felix, everybody, you're welcome to call in. I know it's an intense broadcast. You know,
yeah.
not too many people want to hear about the prophetic chapters. They don't want to hear the truth as far as, hey, judgment. You know, God's not a pushover. He's not going to let your sins go unnoticed. So,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's finish that broadcast on Wednesday. And thank you so much for being here, Felix. It's a blessing and an honor to be a part of it with you. And anybody, just let Felix know how he's doing. Comment down below. Put it on Facebook. Tag his name.
Definitely.
In it, Felix says. I say you're doing really, really well. And I look forward to it every week. So with that being said, you have anything to add?
Well, no. Basically, I just wanted to say thank you all listeners for listening. And, you know, definitely give us your comments. Let us know what you think of the show, how we did, and, you know, what you like or what you didn't like. But feel free, just, you know, tell us, you know, what you learned, anything new, et cetera. And, you know, just share your comments with us. But thank you so much for listening. And with that being said, I wish you all a very good night. God bless you all. And that's it.
Good night. See you Wednesday, 9 p.m.
All righty. God bless.